the King of Kings, the Supreme Being and Sovereign Ruler. We ask that you focus our minds and turn our hearts to you as we humbly bow in your presence this day that you have given to us. We ask you for your mercy and grace upon us, and we thank you for your mercy and grace upon us, and for faithfully providing for our needs day after day. Forgive us, God, when we take you and all you provide for us for granted, and even grumble and complain. Only you, Lord, could stay the course and see your perfect plan through to the final stages without giving up in disgust as you watch over this creation of yours in its fallen, imperfect state. Even those of us who claim to know you fall far short of your perfect holiness. So again, we thank you for being the one and only perfect parent who picks us up when we stumble and restores us by your forgiveness, your strength, your wisdom, your discipline, your provision, and your love. How privileged we are to be your people and you to be our God. May we ever exalt your name. Develop within each of us a healthy fear of you, so that even though you are our friend, we are reminded that we are not even close to being your equal, and therefore have reverence and a great respect towards you, the Most High. Help us to put less reliance on our financial wealth, our good health, our family and friends, our government programs, our own ambition and determination, and instead put more faith and reliance in you. For you last forever, but all these other things that we tend to rely on don't last. They wear out, deteriorate, move away, continually change, and so on. You are the solid rock that is immovable, never changing, 100% reliable, always faithful and dependable, and most of all, you are eternal, forever and always, without end. There is nothing impossible for you except evil, which is not in your perfect holy character. We ask that you would grant to every man, woman, and child on this earth the wisdom of knowing that each and every one of us needs you, Lord. Thank you for granting that wisdom to us, your people. We thank you for this past week and the reminder of your greatest gift to us, your Son Jesus, with the celebration of his birth into this world in human form, that he could become the one and only perfect sacrifice for us on the cross some 33 years later. We thank you for 2024 and all the blessings that have come during the year. We also pray for those that have suffered or endured hardships in any way in 2024 and have a harder time seeing any blessings that have come their way. This time of year in itself can be very difficult for some of us. May the new year of 2025 bring your positive changes and relief to those who continue to struggle in so many different ways. We all face some sort of struggles in this life. Some may seem to be pretty minor compared to what others have to face, but no matter what each of us has to face, remind us, Lord, that we don't have to face it alone, because you want us to let you bear the bulk of the load so we don't get bogged down and give up. Thank you for the privilege that we have in this country to openly come together as a church group to worship you. We give you thanks for Dan and Matthew that you have sent to us and ask that you continue to bless them and their families and give them the strength and desire to continue serving you and teaching from your perfect word, so that many more eyes and ears will be opened to your truth. And finally, we thank you for all you have given us, and we ask that you would accept our offering as it comes to you. And all this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. And we have a scripture reading this morning found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. So from now on, we regard no one from a human point of view according to worldly standards and values. Though we have known Christ from a human point of view, now we no longer know him in this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is, grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as Savior, he is a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition, have passed away. Behold, new things have come, because spiritual awakening brings a new life. Amen.
Thank you, Rob. Amen and amen. Happy New Year, and welcome to the church in Mount Forest. If you're visiting, give me a wave. If you're new, we just want to welcome you, and we're just glad you're in our presence. It's great to have you here, and those of the faithful who come every week and enjoy the presence of the living God here, we thank you for that. And that's Cindy's waving well away. We've been watching our favorite Christmas movies, Julie and I, and I love how these beautiful old black and white movies continuously fulfill and outline the mission of this church, that you would encounter Jesus. That's evangelism. That you would follow him closely. That's discipleship. That you would allow him to transform and conform you into his image, which is his good and perfect will. And when Ebenezer Scrooge wakes up on Christmas morning beside himself, having had his heart wrenched open and realize he needs a new one, he's sitting on this chair and his darling servant maid is there thinking he's lost his mind, and he said, I don't know why I feel how I feel. I don't know anything. I never did know anything. But now I know that I don't know, all on a Christmas morning. And he dances. I don't know anything. I never did know anything. But now I know that I don't know, all on a Christmas morning. And the vision of a transformed heart, a new heart. It's New Year's. And one of the things we tend to do at this time of year is we might look at the past, some joy, some regret. Someone came up to me this morning, I have a New Year's resolution. We look back, we look forward. You know what we rarely do? Just stop and enjoy the moment. And I want to implore you. We have this moment to hold in our hands and to touch. As it slips through our fingers like sand, yesterday's gone. Tomorrow may never come. But we have this moment today. Father, would you just help us as Rob encouraged us. Let the past go. Leave the future up to you. And enjoy this moment, which the poet has said we call the present. It's a gift. and we're so grateful for it. Lord, speak to us now, to that need in our own heart that you alone know. Lead us in the way everlasting because of our Lord and Savior Jesus, in whom, to whom, and through whom are all things. We love you, Lord. Amen. On my computer is that little circle arrow thingy, and when you click that, what does that do to your screen? Refresh. Well done. Some of you need just a little refresh. You're close to the Lord, you're walking with the Lord, but sometimes we just need that screen refresh on a Sunday morning. What happens when you press Control-Alt-Delete on the old computers? It's a full reboot, right? And it just reboots everything. Some of us need a reboot. There's a little bit of cobwebs in our walk with Jesus. And then, my favorite, is when you go with that old clunky computer and you say, I need a whole new hard drive. And then they put a brand new hard drive in, download all those pictures and the things you love, and it's working well. To know Jesus and to be in Christ is to get a new hard drive. And you can't do that unless God has, number one, revealed himself to you, and you've just simply said thank you for the new heart. And as we move into the new year, I just want you to ask the Lord, Jesus, do I need a refresh, a reboot, or a new hard drive? And we invite everyone after the service, you can come down and pray. You can give thanks. You can ask God to fill you. You can ask God to save you. And we have a prayer time. I'd like to start with that because you may want to think about what you want to pray about as you come down. Others will just go out into the fellowship hall and hang out, and that's a wonderful thing too. Living in the moment. Isaiah, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Forget the former things. The gospel according to my Italian nonna. Downtown Hammertown, Hamilton. Rough. Went through World War I. Depression, World War II. I showed up in 65, and there's grandma, couple of teeth, full beard, Italian, that's how they rolled. And it's funny, same, she always wore the same dress, the long stockings, kind of looked like those white underwear that old men wear, you know, those long johns that no one wears anymore, but weird old guys. You know, not to mention any names. Love ya. And here she was. And I've just never seen a more selfless person because with her beard and her hair and her long johns, and she wasn't focused on herself. She had 9 kids. And I'll never forget, she would always say these 2 phrases. It's all I remember her ever saying. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And the next phrase from the great theologian Nona, forget about it. Forget about it. It's good wisdom, right? What are you going to do to save yourself? What are you going to do to change the world? Nothing. Because apart from Christ, you can do nothing. So she just trusted Jesus. She knew Jesus. What are you going to do? Presuppose the answer, nothing. But let God be God in the moment, because only he can do what he can do through you. Number 2, forget about it. Have you sent a text this year that you regret sending? I have. Phone call, conversation. Did you purchase something that was a lot of money that you went, did I really need that golf club, Jay? No, just kidding. or that pickleball racket, as it were. In a simple Italian old lady's phrase, just forget about it. We're going to talk about that. Because some of you are going to ask me the question, I can't forget some of the stuff that I've done and that has been done to me. It's really hard to forget that. You got something to look forward to in a moment. Isaiah 43, forget the former things, don't dwell on the past. And then as Rob just read, From now on, we regard no one from a human point of view. If you're in Christ, brand new, new creation. Three things we're going to talk about today: made, marred, and remade. Made, marred, and remade. Anyone's in Christ is a new creation. One of my mentors, Billy Strachan, huge influence in my life, sitting down during his engagement, and he looked his wife in the eye and said, "I have a very, very sordid, messy past." He was a drunk in Glasgow, Scotland. He would lead traffic drunk and then pass out. Very sordid past. He told me all about it as my mentor. But when he got engaged, he said to his wife, "Would you like to know anything about my past?" She said, "My Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 that if you're in Christ, you're new. Old things gone. News come. Not interested." Then she said to him, "Do you want to know about my past?" She said, "Nope. I'm new in Christ. You're new in Christ. Why don't we just move forward?" 50 years of marriage later, both with the Lord, they did well. Blaise Pascal, "We never keep to the present. We recall the past, anticipate the future, as if we found the future too slow in coming and we're trying to hurry it up. We recall the past as if to stay its too rapid flight. We're so unwise that we wander about in times that do not belong to us." We wander about in times that do not belong to us, the past and the future, "and blindly flee the only one that is." So vain we dream about times that are not, and blindly flee the moment we're in. Fact is, the present usually hurts. We thrust it out of sight because sometimes the present distresses us. And if we find it enjoyable, we're sorry to see it slip away. We try to give the present the support of the future, looking forward to things. And we think how we're going to arrange things over which we have no control for a time which we can never be sure of reaching. Let each of us examine his own thoughts, her thoughts. You will find them wholly concerned with the past or the future. The past and the present are our means, the future only our end. Thus, we never actually live, but hope to live. And since we're always planning how to be happy in the future, it's inevitable we will never be so. He wrote that in the 1600s. Anybody living in the past or the future, we're going to talk about now. We're going to talk about the moment and how God is going to help you move into the future. I'm calling this Staying Alive in 2025. You're made. A little word I've been meditating on all week. God says, "I will make streams in the desert. Abraham, I will make you a great nation. Behold, I am making all things new." Fabulous word. Started in the book of Genesis. God said, "I'm going to take the sky and separate it. And I'm going to make the heavens and the earth. I'm going to make the two great lights, the sun and the moon." And when he speaks the world into being, in the beginning, God, he uses the word created. And that word is the macro cosmic word for when God speaks and things happen. The world was created by the word of his power. And when God speaks the universe into being, the beautiful phrase he uses is the term bara. You know the Latin term ex nihilo. God creates something out of nothing. Amazing how he does that. Creating something out of nothing. Light appears. God in his essence makes something out of nothing. But that word made is the word he uses when he reaches into the sand and he takes some dust and he says to the sun and the spirit, oof, That'll preach. Let us, eternal Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, infinite in time and space, let us make man in our image. We have an identity problem today, my friends. Everybody's identifying as something. I want you to know you can identify as being in the image of the living God through the risen, reigning Lord Jesus Christ who's in you. That's your identity in Christ, only, ever, always identifying in the person of Christ. And that word, let us make man in our own image, is the word asa. It's a powerful Hebrew word. It is versatile. It means to do or to make. In the Old Testament, it signifies actions ranging from creating, fashioning, executing a task, performing. It talks about the physical creation or the execution of a plan or a purpose. God's creative acts as human actions and the fulfillment of commands or duties. I had a conversation last night about the Creator. God is creator and he's creative. That is captured in that word. Let us make man out of the dust in our own image. You heard of Silicon Valley? Sand is one of the most interesting commodities on planet Earth. I like to walk on beaches. I'm a beach person. But sand doesn't do a lot for me, especially when I get off the beach and it ends up in places unknown that are a little awkward. But what someone in their wisdom decided to do is to take sand and to extract the silicon dioxide from it, make a little ingot, slice those up into wafers, and now all the microchips that power everything that we enjoy, your car, your computer, your phone, are made of silicon chips that store thousands and thousands of bits of information out of sand. God sees the potential. He's creator and creative, and he put in your heart and mind the ability to create Silicon Valley and all the conveniences we know. Asa, to do or to make. And then the Lord God, Genesis 2, verse 7. This is when the narrative changes a bit. You'll love it if you're reading Genesis 1 when you go home tonight. In Genesis 2, it says, God, Elohim made. Elohim created. Elohim is Eli, God, Him of the sky or the heavens. He's a distant, powerful creator God. And then all of a sudden in Genesis 2, 7, the narrative changes. And it doesn't say Elohim. It says the Lord God, Yahweh Elohim, Jehovah Elohim, the Father covenant God of Israel, who is in relationship with you and me. And it doesn't say create and it doesn't say made. It uses this beautiful word, Yatzar, formed. Good translations of the Bible, you'll see the play on the words, created, made, formed, created, made, formed. Yatzar, this word primarily means to form or to fashion, used in the context of creating, shaping something with intention and purpose. God's creative work emphasizing his sovereignty and intentionality about making you and me. You're not accidental. And it draws on the familiar imagery of pottery and artistry and has profound theological truths about God's relationship with his creation. See, David knew this when he said, oh God, I am fearfully, awesomely, and wonderfully made. You knit me together in my mother's womb. As an artist fashions a painting and knows exactly what that painting's going to look like when he's finished, David says, every day was written in your book before one of them came to be. I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. You want to walk into the new year, my friends, in the present moment saying, thank you, Jesus, that you who spoke the universe into being, you know me better than I know myself, and you have made me. It's not an arrogant thing. It's just a pride in your daddy who loves you. It's like John saying, I'm the one Jesus loves. God the Creator made everything. And then Jesus shows up in John 1 and it says, he was with God in the beginning, Jesus. Through him, Jesus, all things were made. Asa, yatzard. Without him, nothing was made. Asa, yatzard. That has been made. Get the point? When Hebrew Greek says things three times in a row, it's trying to make sure you get it. Jesus made everything, including you and the people that you don't like. I got to throw that in there. So our mission at this church is let God conform you into his image. Stop trying to conform God into your image. And for heaven's sake, stop trying to conform people into your image. Because if you haven't noticed, they don't change very fast. But allow the sovereign master craftsman, artist, to paint the picture of your life and mine in his time. Colossians, the Son Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in him all things were yatzard, created, formed, fashioned, potential, intentionality. That's you. That's me. Purpose plus. Things invisible, powers, rulers, authorities, created it all through him, for him. That's the Yatzar verse. It gets better, Ephesians 2:10. You are God's workmanship. Masterpiece. Yatzar'd. Created in Christ. You are God's workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus. Why? To do good works that he prepared in advance for you to do. That's a purpose. What are the good works that you're going to walk in this day, this moment, this year? I don't know. But get excited, because he's got good works for you to walk in. My buddy Johnny's here today. Comes to visit once in a while. I love friends who are intentional. Drives 2 hours. I don't know if he wanted to hang out with me so much as he wanted that buffet at Pebbles, but I'm thinking it's me. But I found him gorging himself on that roasted chicken, and we're having this conversation. We get together and have these explosive moments every year, right? Of course, Kevin Horsberg gave him a nickname, Johnny Depp. It's a good nickname. He kind of looks like Johnny Depp. Has anybody given Kevin Horsberg a nickname yet? Sorry? Henry? Henry. That's it? I'm going to go with the Sultan or the Sage of Southgate. I kind of like that handle. The Sage of Southgate, because he's such a good guy. So Johnny just gave me a year of what God's been doing in and through him on a ferry in Thetis Island, a former atheist, through a prayer meeting at a little church and a couple of other people who just loved this individual, a knock on the door. Johnny, I got to talk to you about God. My wife just received Christ. And this whole series of God's hand in his life, and you're like, good works prepared in advance for you to do that you may run, fly, walk. Walk in. Slow down, friends. It's a walk. We walk with God. It's slow. It can be painful. Slow down. And in Isaiah, I love this. I will make, Isaiah 60, the place of my feet glorious. I will make the place of my feet. The word feet in the ancient world was about pathway and purpose and authority and dominion, because this is where you stand in the authority, the word feet. Thy word is a, Amy Grant fans, a lamp unto my feet and a, you know that little word light? It's not a spotlight. It's not a runway light at a airport. You know what it is? It's a little thing called an ankle light. It's a little T light, and all you can see is one step ahead of you. Can you trust the Lord to direct you one step today? Just a step. That person you're going to smile, maybe pray with. That person you're going to go engage with in the fellowship hall, just that you don't know. One step of a good work that he's prepared in advance for you to do. It's amazing. Young Catholic guy, forget his name, it's not important. Praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. He's, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. He thought, my prayer life, my connection with God is limited, so I'm going to start an application. I'm going to create, I'm going to make something. And he makes this app called Hallow. And he said in his heart, if I can get maybe 1,000 people to join this app and pray every day, I'll be thrilled. Well, he starts. 80 employees, budgets in the thousands, very minor league. And Amazon and Temu and OpenAI, they're listing the top apps of the world. Anybody heard of Temu? You bought stuff from Temu? Shame on you. cheap charge from China, that's what I call that. That's good, I do it all the time. Temu, their budget is $500 million a year, 10,000 employees, 6 Super Bowl commercials. You know what a Super Bowl commercial costs? In 1967, 30 seconds in the Super Bowl was $42,000. 95? $1 million. Next week, February, 30 seconds, 2024, $7 million. But those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be satisfied. And this app started to get some traction. And on Ash Wednesday, 2024, it crashed. So many people wanted to pray. It crashed. And at his little Roman Catholic church with his priest, broken and hurt, he just said, we're in trouble. And the priest said, why don't we just pray? Isn't that what your app's about? Isn't that beautiful? Quick, simple prayer over this man. And in 30 seconds, the app flashed up. And in a half an hour, the headlines read, Hallo Prayer App, number one in the world. Don't be like Elijah when you look at our world in despair at the political and social situation and say, Lord, I'm the only one. To which God responds, I got 7,000 who haven't bowed the knee. There are millions of people on planet Earth seeking the righteousness of God because he made them and he planned good works for them to do. One day, a young girl pulled out the Temu app. She was desperate. She decided, because she loved her boyfriend, she'd buy in and sleep together, and she found herself pregnant, very young, completely desperate, did not know what to do. Pulled out her Temu app, prayed over the devotion of the day and just fell on her face and wept and said, God, please. I don't know what to do. Abortion's an option. Desperate. And in her moment, whether it was a deep sense in her stomach or an audible voice, sometimes when God speaks to you, it just seems so loud. She literally heard the phrase, his name is Luke. And rushed the adoption people and said, can you help me find a home for my child? Later on, meeting the adoptive parents, connecting with them, she was so enthusiastic, she thought, wow, these are Christian people who are going to love my child. I'm so thrilled. She'd just forgotten about hearing from God. And then one day they're sitting down for a meal, and she just sort of casually said, "Oh, have you come up with any names for my child?" And the wife did not hesitate. She said, "His name is Luke. His name is Luke." Gets better. On the operating table, when she gave birth to Luke, they discovered a disease that would have killed her for sure if she did not give birth to him. And they found it. Her life was saved. The baby's life was saved. And we have a God who fearfully and wonderfully created you for purpose. Every day, written in his book. You're made. You're made. Number two, Jeremiah 18, you can look it up or listen, it's up to you. Jeremiah 18, this is what the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go to the potter's house. This, I got so excited studying this. The translators use the word potter because it's the noun form of the one who is creating and working. I looked it up. In the Hebrew, it doesn't say potter. It says the verb form of Yatzar, the creator. Isn't that amazing? Go to the potter, go to the creator's house, go to the one who fashions and makes masterpieces. I will give you my message. So I went. You've been around here for a while, you'll hear me use the term when you're sent, and you went, you're put. From my friend Major Ian Thomas. When you're sent and you went. So he went, he obeyed, and I saw, working at the wheel. But, big buts of the Bible, the vessel he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. The word order starts with marred. The pot was marred. That word conveys the idea of destruction, corruption, physical destruction, moral corruption, the decay of moral values, basically the sinfulness of humankind. The potter, the clay, is marred in his hand. Have you sinned this year? You got things you're embarrassed of? Have people sinned against you and hurt you? You're marred. You're made, and you're marred. But you're marred in his hand. That's the beauty. You're never out of the potter's hand who made you. The vessel, it says, was marred. And the word for vessel is so powerful. It's just an ordinary or sacred vessel. And that word is used for ordinary things, things used in the temple, sacred things, and things used in war for military things. Huge span. It's the vessel is everyone. It's you and me. And he made that vessel, a saw, as we've spoken of. And it was made of clay. And the word clay denotes malleability. It's soft. It's moldable. Would you ask God to help you and me this year to be moldable, not hard and stiff, because that hurts when you got to break that stuff and you got to heat that and really break it down. But how about just, Lord Jesus, we're just going to be soft and moldable. And if you want to change anything, I'm going to start doing something, I'm in. I'm going to stop doing something, I'm in. I'm going to continue to do something, I'm in. Stop, start, continue the vessel. And it says, he made it as good, which is a word for righteousness. Isn't that great? God takes your brokenness and your sinfulness. And it was marred in his hand, and he took it, and he made it righteous. He made it good as it seemed right to him. And that little world, as it seemed, is the word for I. As God sees you and knows how to mold you and your individuality, the message is he is making fearfully and wonderfully and remaking your marred self over and over and over. And he looks, and that word eye is perception, insight, tears, fountain. It's used in a lot of different ways as it seemed right to him. You see, when you see a marred vessel, righteousness and repentance in this beautiful verse, you discover that when Jesus went to Calvary, he was marred. Couldn't recognize him. Wounded for our transgressions, broken for our iniquities. Paul says, Jesus on that cross, God was in Christ, the creator of you and the universe. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. As seems right to him, he took that awful marring of Jesus on the cross to redeem you and me. Resurrection power available to you every minute of every day. You're made, you're marred, and you're made new. It's consistent. Our mission at this church is to invite everyone to encounter Jesus, follow him closely, let him transform you into his very image. My personal mission statement, and I hope you can create one for yourself, I want to motivate all those I encounter to maximize their personal, God-given potential in Christ Jesus through the power of the indwelling Spirit to the glory of God. I want to motivate everybody I encounter to maximize your potential in Christ to the glory of God. If I don't do that in your life, tell me, and we'll leave. But my wife and I love you, and we love it here, and we're not going anywhere soon. But the refresh and the reboot and the exchange life of the new hard drive. We, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord right now, real time, you're being transformed into his image from one degree of glory to another. That comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Those he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son. I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered. Forget about it. I've redeemed you. And Isaiah 43, it doesn't get much better. I've called you by name. When you walk through the waters and the fire, I will be with you. You will not be burned. Fear not. I'm with you. I call you by name. I have created bara, you for my glory. I formed Yatzar, you, and I have made you Asa. All together, one verse, Isaiah 43. Isn't that great? I'll close with one of my favorite Christmas memories. I like to ask people, you know, what's your favorite Christmas memory? I taught grade 6 for a long time. And our classes were divided into 4 sections, and I was always the Mr. Horn 6A, Mr. Mills 6C, Miss Brown 6B, et cetera. I was always 6A, first class. And you get teacher gifts? You guys ever get teacher gifts? Mugs, chocolates. Fortunately, I've had a few beauties, and here's my favorite. I had a cargo manager, Canadian Airlines. He walked up and little envelope and slipped it in my hand. He said, Dan, you've had an impact on my son. Name is Alex. Oh, he was baddie. He picked a kid up by his ankles one day and dropped him on his head. That's a story for another time. Alex was a baddie, but I like to engage kids, and we became friends, and he said, thank you for having an impact on my son. So I just took the envelope home, and back before 9/11, you could do this. It was a buddy pass anywhere in North America I wanted to fly. Buddy pass. And my heart just went, Lord Jesus, where should I go? This was September. I taught the son a year before, and December rolled around, and I had an ugly, ugly blowout with one of my family members. It was really ugly. Really ugly. Harsh words. And I didn't want to be around for Christmas, so I ran away. fight, flight, freeze. I'm a flight guy in conflict. You get me in the corner, fight, or I'll freeze. So I got to get out of here. And I took my little buddy pass, and I booked my flight to Florida to see Uncle Pete. Part of Nona crowd. What are you going to do? Forget about it, right? Pete's part of that. Talk about him in a sec. I go to the plane, instead of dressing up. Oh, by the way, it was a first-class ticket, which is rare for me. And I go to the plane, and I walked up to the first class all excited. I thought it was cool. I had a black pair of jeans on called Mérite François Gibault from Chicago. Michael Jordan wore these things. Thought I was a rock star. They go, there's no denim allowed in first class. Sorry, you can't get on this plane. Oh, I was rocked. But in the back of my head was, Lord, you're doing something. And I need to know, and I'm just going to trust you. And I'm a little bit of a, kind of like to get my way, ask my wife. So I just walked up there, and I said, you know what, can I just go down there? They're not going to let you on the plane. Can I try? So I grabbed my little whatever I had, and I kind of walked in there, pretending I didn't have these jeans on. Well, everybody's coming through, and this lady looked at me, and she looked right in my eye, and she said, Mr. Horn, glad you're here. Your seat is 6A. Row 6, seat A. That was exciting. I cried, thank you, Lord. Got on the plane, flew to see my uncle, who is raging Republican, Southern Baptist, Pentecostal, American nut job that scare people. I would bring friends over. No kidding. Jim Milovanovic comes in, jacked up, big little Bible study my dad's having. There's Uncle Pete. Says to Jim, you saved. Just brash, obnoxious Christian. Not that we have any brash, obnoxious Christians in here, but I'm just describing someone who would, you know, you'll have to use your imagination, right? Well, I learned some about Pete that year because I found out his wife had been unfaithful their whole marriage. Several different partners. There was a lot in Pete I didn't like, but there was also a faithfulness to the word and a faithfulness to his wife that was extraordinary. And I remember that Christmas day, now I kind of wished I was home because it's a couple days in, I'm with Crazy Pete. And he says, Dan, we're going to go to the convalescent home for Christmas Day to see my wife. There's a lot about Pete I didn't like. But Pete showed me something that day where we sat down Christmas morning, and his wife was in one of those massive wheelchairs that basically you can't move. I don't know what was wrong with her, but she couldn't talk and couldn't move and incontinent the whole nine yards. And he literally, that man sat there with this wife of unfaithfulness and fed her Christmas morning a whole meal, 2 hours, and I sat there with him. And I thought, that's keeping your wedding vow. That's understanding fearfully and wonderfully made, even though the picture doesn't fit our image. And that guy loved his wife. He taught me something about love that day. It wasn't a feeling. It was an action. Good works he's prepared in advance for you and I to do this year, every moment, every day. I got another point, but I don't need to make it because time's enough. Lord Jesus, thank you for making us, for remaking us, and for giving us your very life today. Help us to see everyone we encounter as fearfully, wonderfully made, regardless of our opinion or how we feel about them. Help people to see us as a city on a hill, a light in a dark place, so that we may proclaim your excellency to your glory. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. Amen.